Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 21 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we praise the Lord for this day, for this radio station, for all the prayers and support, and most of all for you, the listener. We thank you. If this is your first time tuning in today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. For those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you and we thank you. And we hope you also continue to come back, join us each and every Sunday. Today, we're going to be talking about dealing with depression. And this is a big subject, as you can imagine. Many, many people suffer here in the United States, not just here in this country, but all over the world, suffer with depression and despair and thoughts of anguish and suicide. And so we're going to talk about what God has to say about this in His holy word. And so if you have your Bible there, turn it today to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12, 25. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today on dealing with depression, just want to give you a brief update what's going on in the ministry there in Kenya. We are full speed ahead with the school project, building a primary school for the children of Makunda. There'll be about 200 to 300 children in this school when we get it finished, and a preschool along with it. And so this will be not only a good place for the children to get an education, but also an evangelism tool, because many of the children will be from other religions, other faiths that are there in Makunda, and we'll have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus and to witness to them the good news of the gospel, sing songs about Jesus. And so this is going to be a wonderful outreach for the ministry. If you'd like to support this project, contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I can share details with you. We're going to try to raise $300,000 to get this project up and going. And so this will be a project that will have a lasting impact for many generations. Contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can let you know about the details of this project. Well, today we're going to be talking about dealing with depression, and this is a big, big subject. Many, many people here in the U.S. suffer from depression, not just here, but in other countries as well. And so this is a big subject. The Bible talks about it because Jesus knew and God knew that we would have issues with depression and despair. There's no person that walks this earth that is free of depression or can live his life, his whole life, without having challenges and difficulties regarding depression. And that is because we live in a fallen world. We don't live in the Garden of Eden anymore, and we never have since the day of Adam and Eve. And so it is a challenge. Life can be difficult. Life can be very difficult and challenging at times. And so God's word speaks to this issue that is a common affliction for all mankind. Well, what exactly is depression? The Bible gives a very distinct definition for it in Proverbs 12:25, and this is what the King Solomon wrote. King Solomon, the author of the book of Proverbs. If you've never read through the book of Proverbs, I suggest you do that, as there's so much good teaching and common down-to-earth wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Anybody can benefit by reading it. In Proverbs 12:25, it says, "Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Let me repeat that again. "Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." And so anxiety is a heaviness, or being consumed by worry, being consumed by things that are out of your control, but you just take it in and it becomes overwhelming, it becomes crushing. onto our life, crushing onto our spirit and our soul. And so anxiety then is a feeling of helplessness, a feeling of hopelessness. And so a good definition of anxiety can be this: it is described as an often sinful, distracting, or overwhelming emotional state rooted in fear, rooted in a lack of trust in God, and misplaced priorities, worrying about life's challenges. And so when you get focused on worrying about life's challenges to the point where you don't see any hope, you don't see any way out, you don't see the goodness of God in your life, you don't see His plan for your life or how you can activate or enact His plan for your life, you just get consumed by the weight of the worry and the weight of the hopelessness. And so eventually many people end up, they don't function well in society. They end up taking all kinds of drugs to try to cope with their anxiety, try to cope with their hopelessness. And so their condition many times gets worse. The devil will then introduce thoughts of suicide and try to get you to be convinced that your life has no value, try to get you to be convinced that you are not worthy to enjoy the blessings of God, that you're not worthy to walk into that land of the living, the blessings that God has for you, the plan that He has for your life. And so it becomes a very, very heavy thing in people's lives. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul addresses this, and he says, basically, in a nutshell, turn your worry over to Jesus. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to start to make that the first priority, the highest priority in your life. Get a good relationship established with Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about practical steps here at the end of this message, practical things that you can do to start to get your feet on a firm foundation, start to get your mind focused on God's plan for your life, hope for your life, and what God has to say about your life, and not just the thoughts of the devil that weigh you down and cause you to lose hope in this life. Well, Philippians 4:6, Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Or in other words, do not have anxiety for any issue. And I know that's very difficult today. You turn on the news and you see all the news of wars and rumors of wars. You see all the news of everything going bad, the murders, the rapes, the terrorist attacks now here in the United States. And so the news, the things that you listen to on the radio, the things that you see on the TV becomes even more weight of heaviness upon your life. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in other words, every situation, every detail of your life, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So you have to guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus, and you do that by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Well, you know what prayer is. Prayer is communicating with God. It's great to communicate with your spouse, great to communicate with your children, with your co-workers. But beloved, if you don't have time in your life to communicate with God, then you are going to be in trouble. You're going to be consumed by the worry and the details of all the bad things that are going on in the world. You're going to be consumed by everything that you see on the TV, the wars, the rumors of wars, and all of the pestilence and all of the earthquakes and all of the terrorist attacks and all of these things that are happening. That's what you're going to be consumed on. And so you need to get focused on a prayer life where you can talk to God, get off in your secret place, go into your bedroom or your closet or out into the woods somewhere, get off in your secret place and talk to God. Empty your heart, empty your burden onto Him, empty your trials onto Him, empty your anxiety onto Him. And so Paul says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Well, what is supplication? That's a big word, but it means plea for mercy. And you need to plea for mercy. That's why people get down on their knees. And that's why people fast, because they're humbling themselves before God. And a plea for mercy is basically asking God to give you something that you do not deserve. You do not deserve it. We don't deserve any of the blessings and the great goodness of God in our life. We don't deserve it because we are a fallen man. We are a sinful man. In fact, the Bible says that God is mindful that we are but dust. He knows how we were made because He created us. He knows that we live in a fallen world because of the sin of Adam. He knows what a struggle this life is for us, that we have an adversary in the devil, and that we're liable to be tempted, and we are tempted by the devil. And so we know that we have a struggle, and God knows it also. And so supplication is a plea for mercy. We're saying to God, God, I don't deserve the blessings. I'm humbling myself before You. I'm asking You for things that I am not worthy to obtain on my own. I'm not able to obtain on my own. I'm asking for Your blessings upon my life. And so Paul says that if we do that and do it with thanksgiving, well, what does it mean to do it with thanksgiving? It means that you thank God for everything in your life. Maybe you don't have much. Maybe you got bills stacked up on your kitchen table. Maybe you don't have the car or the truck or even the house or anything else that you want. If you have something, praise God for it. Praise Him for the smallest things. If you have good health today, other than being in depression or despair, if your body is functioning halfway normal today, give God thanks for it. If you have food to eat, give God thanks for it. If you have clothing to wear, give God thanks for it. In other words, have a heart of gratitude and give God thanks for everything in your life. And if you do that, if you start to adopt a heart of gratitude and an attitude of gratitude, even for the smallest things, thank God, praise the Lord. In Kenya, we say, Bwana Asifiwe, Bwana Asifiwe. We praise You, Lord. We praise You. We praise You, Almighty God. And you start to praise God for even the smallest things in your life. If you have family, if you have a children or wife or a husband, give God thanks for them. Give God thanks for your children that He's given you. And so when you do that, then Paul says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So the world cannot give you peace, beloved. If you're looking for peace from being consumed by the news 18 hours a day, if you're looking for peace by talking with your friends down at the coffee shop or the beer hall or wherever, you're not going to get peace from the world. You're not even going to get it from your work, although you need to work. And that is man's mission here on this earth, is to be in work. That is where he derives a lot of his satisfaction. But ultimately, you're not going to have a lot of peace. Sometimes the workplace can be a place of turmoil, it can be a place of conflict, and it can be a place of trouble. And so your peace isn't going to come from there. Your peace will come from God. Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And so your peace comes from the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace of God in your life, the peace of the Holy Spirit in your life. The world can't give it because the world doesn't have it to give. And so it can't give it into your life. You have to look to God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in your life to give you that peace. Paul says it passes all understanding, and that peace will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And beloved, you'll get to the point where you love to read God's word. You'll get to the point where you love to be in prayer. You'll get to the point where you love to be in fellowship and with the other saints who also know Jesus Christ as their Lord. You'll get to the point where your spirit and your soul crave and hunger those relationships and crave and hunger being in the presence of God, spending time with God, spending time so that you have His peace guarding your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So I'm going to offer up a couple more Proverbs here while we're talking about Proverbs. Proverbs 15:13, it says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." And so when you give thanks for everything and you start to see humorous things in your life, you start to even see your own life sometimes in humorous ways, then it says a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And in Proverbs 15:16, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." And so when you get greedy, when your whole life is consumed with the rat race and trying to accumulate things that you don't necessarily need, and once you get them, they don't make you happy, better is a little. In other words, learn to be content and satisfied and give Lord thanks for small things in your life. If you have a job that you like, maybe it doesn't pay everything that you want it to pay, give God thanks for it if it brings peace to your heart and you are doing what you would like to do. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Many a person has been defeated by becoming greedy, and they get in the rat race and they want to work 24 hours a day, and they're never satisfied with what they have. They are always looking for things, more things to accumulate, a second home in the mountains or all kinds of vehicles and things that ultimately don't bring them joy. And so it is important for you to understand that being content with the small things in your life is very important. Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." And so when you have joy in your heart and you give thanks to God for everything in your life, it says a merry heart is good like medicine. And in America, of course, we have medicine for everything. We have medicine for all kinds of depression, despair, anxiety, anti-anxiety, all kinds of mental issues, schizophrenia, and bipolar illness. We have medicines for everything, and there's hundreds of different reasons. Even in the psychiatric manuals and all of that, there's hundreds of reasons why you should take medicine. But God says that a merry heart is like good medicine, and a broken spirit dries the bones. So you can start to treat your heart with the things of God. Start to treat your heart with the blessings and the joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Start to treat your heart with the things that God has for you, and that will be good medicine in your life, good medicine for your heart. Proverbs 18:14, "The spirit of the man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit?" Well, the spirit of a man, your spirit is made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us," God and Jesus were there, and they said, "Let us make man in our image and give him dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the cattle on the hills and all the creeping things on the earth." And so your spirit is made in the image of God, and your spirit needs to be in communication with God. Your spirit needs to be pursuing the presence of God. And so when your spirit is aligned with God, you have peace in your heart, You have joy in your heart. You can give thanks for the little things that are in your life. And when you have peace in your heart, then everything else in your life is going to fall into place. Well, everybody deals with depression, as I've said before. One of the great prophets of the Old Testament, Elijah, after he had defeated the prophets of Baal on the great battle at Mount Carmel, then he fled out into the desert. He fled out because the wicked Jezebel and King Ahab were after him, wanted to destroy him. And so even after this great victory, then he goes down into the valley of despair and down into the valley of depression. And so in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, talks about Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and he said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And there he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, Elijah, because the journey is too great for you.'" Well, beloved, there are times when we feel like the journey is too great for us. We feel just like Elijah. We want to lay down and say, "Lord, take my life. I can't stay in this battle any longer." And I know there's people out there listening to me today. You feel that way. You want to just keep the shades down on your windows, and you want to stay in bed and pull the blankets up over your head and say, "Lord, I can't face this battle any longer." Well, Elijah wanted to have the Lord take his life. He said, "Take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." And then as he lay, then God fed him, sent an angel to feed him with the angel food. And he said, "Arise, Elijah, and eat." And the angel came and touched him, says, "The journey is too great for you." But beloved, when the journey is too great for you, it's not too great for God. When the journey seems like it's too overwhelming and you're getting crushed by the weight of worry and crushed by the weight of your circumstances, it's not too much for God. Nothing is impossible for God, and he can send his angels to encourage you. In fact, even today, I'm asking the Lord, if you are suffering under that weight of worry and anxiety and discouragement, I'm asking the Lord, send his angels right now to touch you and lift you up, and to feed you with that angel food, feed you with encouragement, feed you with hope, and feed you with the blessings of the Lord, so you can get back into the battle, that you can go forward one day at a time and take on the battles that the Lord God has planned for you, and you will come out victorious. Well, I'm going to close today with words from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, in Matthew chapter 6. This is a Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus had some wonderful, encouraging words here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what you put on your body. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" And so Jesus says, you can't add to your life by worry. You can't add to your physical stature. You can't add to your financial stature. You can't add to your emotional stature. Worry will gain you nothing. In fact, just the opposite. Continual worry puts you deeper and deeper in the hole. It puts you deeper into that place of darkness. So stop worrying. Start trusting God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in your secret place. And trust God to take care of you. well, verse 29. So yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Then in verse 33, I'm going to close here with this verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. So don't worry about tomorrow. Seek first the kingdom of God. Well, how do you do that? You seek first the kingdom of God in prayer and in Bible study and in fellowship and in praise and in worship. Seek God, beloved, even one little small step. Maybe you've not opened your Bible in months or years. One little small step. Open it up to the Proverbs or the Psalms. Start to read God's Word. Spend time in prayer. Maybe you've not been in prayer and you're frustrated and angry with God. You don't believe he answers prayer. Spend time in prayer and you will see God start to move in your life. That burden of despair and anxiety, that burden of discouragement will start to lift off of you. Go outside, get a walk, go to a park, and thank God for the sunshine. Thank God for the rain. Thank God for the clouds, the trees, the grass, everything that he has made. Give God praise and thanks for it. Take one little small step, and you'll start to see God move in your life. Well, I hope you enjoy these messages. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank God for that, and we hope you would come along and support this ministry, help bring these messages each and every week. You can contact us, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can use your debit or credit card, paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. That's paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. Check us out on Facebook. See pictures of the ministry, facebook.com/Jim Rowe. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.